Hi, this is Josila from Cannot Be Tamed, and you're listening to the Training Dummies podcast.
You're listening to the Training Dummies. With Hen.
Everybody needs some Hen love.
And Hotbox.
Altaholic, wow, extraordinaire.
Greetings and welcome to episode 39 of the Training Dummies, recorded for you on April 11th, 2013. My name is Rob, altaholic to the max, distracted by absolutely everything, but dedicated to my most favorite, Windwalker, Mistweaver, Lady Panda Monk, and with me tonight, all the way from Northern Canada, which I think you may be having actually some better weather than I've been having lately. So
A little bit.
Maybe. It was like 70 one day, and then the next day was like 9:30 at night, bone dry outside, and I started getting this flood of emails saying the school is canceled due to inclement weather. So my daughter got a snow day from school, and it was dry outside.
Nice.
That was pretty awesome. Daryl, the Resto Shaman Hind. Welcome, Daryl.
Yes, thanks.
Yeah. We've had many guests on lately.
I'll do it for myself. Awesome.
I don't know what, man, we've had so many, like, brilliant, amazing guests on lately that it's like we're having to, we set the bar so high, I don't even know how to have a conversation with just you anymore.
I know. We don't even talk anymore.
We've got to get back to having some quality time. This week's just going to be a bit of a mini cast. We were debating on even doing our show together tonight or not because, to be honest, we've been kind of slacking a little bit and just distracted with work and World of Warcraft. But we had to throw one together and at least give you the crowd control segment and a little bit of what we've been doing. So what have you been up to this week in the World of Warcraft?
Well, not a whole lot, I guess. I'm doing some LFR on my Warlock on the weekend. I guess we recorded last on Saturday, so after that, I guess. I ended the week with 479 eye level on my Warlock, so just one shy of getting into the Throne of Thunder LFR. I was sitting at 900 Valor points, and I only needed 937 for a ring to put me over, but I had capped. So, unfortunately, I was short 37 Valor and just had to wait. So, on Tuesday, I got the ring, and we did Throne of Thunder that night. I did that with Rob and... Yeah, it was just you, I think, on... Oh, you and Tim. That's who we went. On Tuesday, we did part one with you and Tim. And, yeah, I tore it up on my Warlock that night. I think I got a trinket out of there. And then Wednesday night, last night, we did part two with you and Epic Insanity from the Epic Questions podcast.
Yeah.
And I didn't look quite as impressive in that one because we had... There was a group in there, maybe six or seven guildies that were in a heroic raiding guild. And, of course, they were topping the DPS charts and topping the healing meters and everything else. But they were jerks as well. Like, they acted like they deserved to be at the top. And yeah, anyone who wasn't, they were, yeah, it wasn't a pleasant experience with them, but, whatever. It's LFR. It happens on occasion. On my Shaman, I haven't done a whole lot. I know I did a run tonight, and I think I did one the other night just to get some Valor, but I've been playing mainly my Warlock, so it's kind of funny the way that's going. Like, I capped for the first time. I capped my Valor on my Warlock, and it's the first time I've capped any Valor on any tune in a couple months at least. I had the bonus Valor for Hen because I already had a tune capped and I still didn't get Hen capped. So, it is the way it's going right now. Every time I log in the evenings, I find myself loading the Warlock first just to get dailies done or whatever on that character. So, but I'm sure once we get ramped up here again, I'll get back to Hen more on a full-time basis. Anyway, Rob, what have you been up to?
You kind of summed it up. We ran some LFRs. We ran into some, took a wrong turn at Butthole Lane and ran into a bunch of people who had a zero tolerance policy for anyone who was not as cool as they were, but we got through it all right. That particular group, there was a shaman healer who was shaman healer.
There you go.
it was destroying the healing meters, like absolutely over the top. So, and he was from that guild. So I decided to whisper him, and he and I actually chatted the entire LFR back and forth, just, you know, comparing strategies and stuff. And he ended up being a really, really cool guy. But, and he actually kind of apologized to me for his, guildmates.
Oh, did he?
Just said, nice. Yeah. So he's been running with him for years. And, you know, the one guy, man, their tank had one of those, announcer add-ons, which I understand because we all use a couple of those. But, man, I couldn't even see my chat window because it was just filled up with spam, 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 spam. It was announcing everything that everybody did. So it was just – it was a little over the top. But I've been on my DK a lot lately. I've been really trying to just dial in the blood tanking spec. And Preach uploaded a video this week about Deathstrike and how to get the most out of your self heals and your shields and your absorbs and stuff like that. So I've really been kind of trying to just get better at that, you know, because with the current five mans, you can just go in and do whatever you want. It doesn't matter really. So I've kind of been trying to use those a little bit as a getting back to figuring out the best way to do things. Been building up a DPS spec for him. I like the way that Unholy looks. I think it's super cool, the pet, you know, the everything about it. Mm-hmm. But I don't like that it still feels like twice as much work for the same output as Frost. So, I don't know. Other than that, I kind of been getting a little tired of the 5.2 area. Before we recorded tonight, our realm had unlocked the final version. Or they were at 1% left last night, so I guess they probably unlocked it last night. But so I went in and ran that little solo scenario, and it was probably the easiest one out of all of them so mm-hmm. far. Kill some dudes, and then you kill a dude. So
yeah, I'll probably run that after we're done this.
Tons of RP. Tons. It takes, like, you sit through more RP than you do actually doing anything. But it was cool. It had a very Shadowpan feel to it. Like if you got exalted with Shadowpan, and you went over and you did that little finishing quest where you fought the dragon and you know and all the dudes were running around helping you, it kind of felt a lot like that, you know. And there was definitely some Horde and Alliance tension. I'm not gonna spoil anything, but it was cool. I actually really liked that one. Some of the other ones felt like they drug a little, but this one was cool. So other than that, I've been head battling to earn my charms because I haven't felt like doing my dailies. So it started last night, I guess. I pet battled for about an hour, got about 70 something charms, and I was like, crazy. Oh wow, why would I do anything else then at this
yeah, no kidding.
Well, I jumped on tonight and did the same thing, and I've probably been pet battling for well over an hour, and I can't even tell you. I think 32 was what I was at when I when I stopped. So it's definitely hit or miss. You know, I've heard some theory, and maybe some people who are a little more into pet battles. Maybe I'll talk to some guys in the guild. But I've heard some theories as to the frequency of it. I heard somebody say that the more wins you get pet battling, you build up a hot streak. But I haven't lost a fight yet. And I don't feel like I'm building up any sort of hot streak with. So I think it's just random. You know, sometimes you'll get six, sometimes you'll get two. But yeah, it's a nice break from the grind if you're looking to get those charms. That's a cool way to do it. So
yeah, I'm gonna have to try that out too because I now that I've hit exalted with the Sun Reaver, I don't want to go back and do those dailies. I don't.
Yeah,
You said we opened up the final phase. Mm-hmm. So there's really no reason to go back and put myself through that again because we all love those dailies.
I do want to get the ring, the key, so I can do the treasure run.
Right. Know? Yeah.
I still want that, but it's, I don't know, man. It's hard to make myself go back over there. I know a lot of people really, really love it, but I feel like I'm playing alts a lot more than I was at the beginning of the expansion, and I am not interested in running those dailies on multiple guys, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like since we're not raiding Throne of Thunder right now, we're earning that reputation from that raid. We're earning that at a lot slower rate because we're only getting it from LFR.
Mm-hmm.
So I still want that. You know, I'll still run my LFR wings. I'll still do that. I have not gone into the part 3 this week with Drumu and those guys, but I don't know. I feel like this whole being forced into LFR right now, as that being your ticket to gearing, you know, here are your options. We're not giving you five mans anymore, so you can do scenarios, which I don't feel like doing, dailies, which I don't feel like doing, or LFR to gear up. You know, I guess LFR is gonna be my drug of choice there, because that's where you're gonna get the most bang for your buck. Now, my problem is, and a lot of people are advocating for this, but my problem is if you play a pure DPS class, if you're wanting to gear up through LFR, you know, because the 463 gear is basically outdated, you know, and if I'm not trying to grind rep on my alts, the only thing that I can do is LFR at this point. If I'm on a pure DPS class, that's a long wait. And then if you get in there with a bad group, it takes a long time to run it, you know?
Yep.
And sometimes I don't have several hours to sit there and dedicate to LFR, so I don't know. I know they're tweaking the system. It's getting better. It's getting worse in some ways. It's getting better, so.
Yeah,
that's, I guess, end rant for me there.
It'll be interesting to see how they put together 5.3 and 5.4 to deal with some of this gearing issue. And, like, the new scenarios. Are the scenarios going to give you a chance at higher than 463 gear? I don't know what the new ones are like.
It's got to, if it's quote unquote heroic scenarios, there's got to be a, you know, I haven't watched the PTR much, but they've got to have a higher item level than I mean, it's got to be brought up to speed at least.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing not, probably not quite LFR level gear, which is what, 502 coming out of there?
Yeah. Yeah.
So probably high 400s.
Yeah.
You know, maybe on par with some of the other faction stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, speaking of LFR, we were talking about discussing LFR this week, and the first six bosses or so in Throat of Thunder. But it we probably don't know it as well, or I don't know it as well as I would like to talk as an authority on it. But thankfully, someone else this week has already done our work for us. Rob, why don't you let him know? You actually told me about this today.
Well, one of the other, another show that I listen to you on a regular basis is called The Starting Zone. Those guys are really, really cool show. Has a real fun vibe to it. They have a real good production aspect. And what they did on their most recent episode, maybe a week or so, last week's episode, number 53, they did exactly, like, to the T what we were going to plan on doing this week. And they took the first six bosses in LFR and they broke it down into digestible chunks. So go in here. If you're the tank, swap after this. You know, if you're the DPS, don't stand in this. Make sure to dispel this. You know, so they really did exactly what we were kind of planning on doing. So rather than doing a crappy version of what someone else already did, we're gonna direct you over to those guys. We'll put a link up on that with our notes for the show today.
Definitely.
And pointing over to those guys. So props where props are due. They did it first and they did a great job at it. So I will definitely direct you guys over that way.
And I have no doubt they probably did a way better job than we possibly could have. So
in my opinion, they're about the closest podcast out there doing the same thing that we're doing in terms of the kind of class guides and the casual feel to it. You know, they don't, there's no real focus on like one particular thing. It's
right,
it's different walkthroughs for dungeons or class guides or you know how to get the most bang for your buck. So they're a great show too if you haven't checked them out. It's The Starting Zone, and like I said, we'll put them in the show notes here.
And before we get on to our crowd control segment, I just want to say that you know, if anyone has any questions or anything, please send them in. It feels like a while since we've had like a flood of questions, and you know, we really love getting them. We love taking the time, figuring them out, and getting those answers to you as well. Our voicemail. It's fantastic getting those as well and hearing you guys talk instead of just hearing us talk all the time. It's a fancy little widget on the side of our website. You don't need to install anything. All you need is a mic, and it'll record everything and then email us the recording. I think it can be up to 90 seconds long. So it's a fantastic little tool right on the website. And, you know, we'd really appreciate it if some of you could just send us something. We're starting to feel kind of lonely.
don't be deterred by the fact that we have set the bar pretty high with our guests lately. And we have a lot more guests coming up. The next couple of weeks, we have some super cool folks that have agreed to join us, but don't let that steer you away. The whole point of the show is to talk about what people want to hear about and want to know about in terms of raising the bar for their game. So
exactly. All right. So now that we threw that in there, let's get on to the main reason we're actually having this show tonight. So everyone can hear Kim and her awesome accent. Here she is with crowd control.
Welcome to the Crowd Control PvP segment of the Training Dummies podcast. This week we're going to be talking about battleground strategies, so stick around and I hope you enjoy. Okay, so first we're going to be talking about Temple of Kotmugu. It's a 10v10 powerball battle. You're basically controlling Mugu artifacts in different scoring zones in order to get points. And the maximum points for this is 1600 to win. So when the battleground starts, there'll be four orbs that spawn in each four corners of the map, and they'll be glowing, and there'll be a red, a green, an orange, and a blue one. Anyone can pick the orbs up, but you can't drop or transfer them to another player. The only way you can drop them is if you click off the debuff at the top right-hand corner of your screen. Also, anything like the Paladin's Bubble spell will knock off the orbs, so if you've got anything like that, don't use it, otherwise, you know, you're going to knock it off and you're going to have to run back and pick it up. While you're holding the orbs, you get buffs and debuffs. These are an increase to damage done by the player by 30%, an increase to damage done to the player by 5%, and a decrease to healing done to the player by 10%. Now, the longer you're holding the orbs, the higher the stacks get of the buffs and debuffs, so eventually DPS you will be hitting like a truck. But as far as I know, there isn't any limit to how high the stacks can get, so it goes both ways. As you're hitting harder, you're also being hit harder and you're receiving less healing. So it will get to the point where an enemy player can just sneeze in your direction and he's gonna one or two shot you. While you're holding the orbs, you're going to be earning points as well. This is determined on where you are in the map. The closer to the centre of the map you are, the more points you earn. So in the centre courtyard, you're going to be receiving 5 points per tick, and around the outer edges of it, you're going to be receiving 4 points per tick, and then around the outer edges again, round about where the graveyards are, you're going to be receiving 3 points per tick. So basically, if you're holding an orb, you want to be in the middle of the map, in the middle courtyard. In this battleground, I like to have 8 team members make their way straight to the centre of the map and get in there and hold that ground, while 2 other players go and pick up the 2 orbs closest to where our spawn point would be. So whilst your team are DPSing down the orb carriers, your team's orb carriers need to be communicating and letting everyone know when they're about to die so that someone can get up to the orb ready for when it respawns to pick it straight back up again and get back into the middle as fast as possible. The most important thing to remember about this battleground is it's all about movement and communication. You need to be able to use all your movement abilities, anything that you've got that can boost your speed, and make sure that you're paying attention to your own orb carriers and the enemy ones too. So the next one we're going to be talking about is Silver Shard Mines. It's a 10v10 battleground and it's available at level 90, and it's an escort one. You're going to be escorting carts to capture points, and the first team to 1600 points wins. So the first thing you'll notice on your map is that there's tracks leading from a centre point and they're leading out to your capture points. Now to capture the carts, you'll notice there's a big white circle around them. You basically just have to stand in that circle in order to cap it for your team. This works both ways. It's a lot like the Eye of the Storm when you're capturing the towers, like Blood Elf Tower. But they're actually moving at the time when you're capping them. And no more than three carts will ever spawn at any one time. There's also some levers on the east and west track lines that change the direction of the track. You'll see that there's four different capture points, one up north, one to east and west, and one to the south. The one up north is usually not used as a capture point unless someone has changed the lever to buy more time or whatever for their team. Anyone can change the lever, it doesn't matter whether it's the enemy or a friendly cart that's going through at the time, you can change it either way, which is helpful if you want to buy yourself some more time, like I've said. So when the carts are under your control, you're going to get 1 point per second for each second that it's under your control. So the idea is to control it for the longest. Now, the different tracks are different lengths. The track to the east is the mid-length track, and the track to the south is the shortest one, and the track to the west is the longest. So let's say that your cart has spawned and is heading down the middle track. Hypothetically, if you have control of that cart from the depot right up to the capture point, that's 2 minutes. So that's 120 points for the 2 minutes plus 150 for the cap, which would give you a total of 270 points for that one capture. So now let's say that your cart has spawned and it's heading east on those tracks. Once you get to the point with the lever, if it's turning left, then it's going to go on the shortest route, which is going to give you 240 points. And if it goes right and takes the longest route, that's going to be 370 points. If it's spawned and it's going on the west track, and it gets to the lever and turns left, then you're going to be taking the longest route, and that's going to give you 370 points. And if it turns right, you're going to be getting 330 points. The easiest way to win this battleground is to separate your group into two teams and send one team down to the middle track, the one heading south, and send the other team to the east track. You can win this battleground with control of two carts, but you can't win it with only one. You need to have the two carts. Make sure you're taking the shortest, most efficient track. The sooner you can get your cart capped, the sooner it's going to respawn again in the centre depot. So once you're capturing your cart, make sure you're sending someone down to the middle to get ready to capture the next one when it spawns in 10 seconds after the previous cap. So that's all for this week. I hope this has been helpful for you. If you want any more info on this, you can find it on my blog at kimsgalley.com, as well as email and voicemail. And if you've got any questions, I'd love to hear from you. You can catch me on Twitter at kimsgalley or via thetradingdummies.com. Thanks very much for listening, and I hope you're having an epic week.
Yeah. This week I have brought a macro to the table. I've talked about it a few times, and on a couple of other shows that I guested on, they've always asked me, and I always go to this one, and it's very simple, but it's very important for if you play a monk for all three specs. So one of your main abilities that you do for AoE, no matter whether you're a healer or a DPS or a tank, you're always going to spin and crane kick because you always got to kick people in the face. And the great thing is if you're a healer, you're going to heal up your friends and your party there by kicking them in the face. So that spin and crane kick is great. But once you hit that spin and crane kick button, it starts that going and it goes for a couple of seconds and you can't get out of it. So if you're trying to, if you're anything like we are, and you're playing the who can now interrupt who metagame, then you're kind of screwed there. So what this macro does is it'll cancel your spinning crane kick. It's just an aura. You can see it up in the top right hand corner of your screen when you jump into that. It's just an aura for spinning crane kick. So what you'll do is you'll run this macro. It'll cancel your spinning crane kick, and it'll cast your interrupt, the spear hand strike, all at once. So, and I use it a lot of times anyways to, you know, if I accidentally spin and crank kick and I decide, oh crap, I want to do this instead, I will actually hit this button anyways because it'll cancel my spin and crank kick and I can get on to whatever else I was trying to do. So, very simple, couple line macro. We'll go ahead and throw that in the notes. But all, like I said, all three specs. It's great, and it's very important to get those interrupts in, so.
A handler, it's funky cause he's Canadian. Well, handler.
Wow, it feels like we're just rolling right along here, but I guess it is it is just going to be a mini cast tonight, so.
That's all right.
All because we need to hear Kim. So, I'm going to send some hen love to Kim, because without her, we probably wouldn't even have a show tonight, to be honest. So I said, Kim, some hen love as well. I want to send some to our guildies on the Hoarderlies, in the Hoarderlies Guild on the Deathwing server. And as well, from the Hearthcast podcast, I want to send some hen love to Root and Fruckleface. And specifically Root, as we haven't seen him around for a couple weeks. I think he had to head out of town for work is what I think I noticed on his Twitter. Anyway, send some hen love to them. And I don't have a guest to send some hen love to tonight, so I'm going to send some to Rob just because. Rob, you're up.
Even though I'm a bad tank and a bad healer.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You are a bad tank.
you know what? People in those LFR runs, they're either easygoing or they're not going to put up with your crap at all, man. They're not going to take your snark or nothing, man. But definitely, like you said, hand love to Kim because... otherwise, we would have just called it a night and not even hit record. So, you guys can thank her for her segment and for us putting out this mini cast tonight. Everybody over on Twitter and Facebook, it's super awesome. Like I say every week, but it's seriously awesome because like I can say whatever. I was talking about crop dusting today on Twitter, and we got some really good conversation out of it today. So. So it's good stuff, man. It kind of keeps me going. So have those long days at work where you're just not sure. Man, I can always turn to Twitter. You guys are great. So that I had his name in my head a second ago. The shaman healer that whoever you are, I think he said he was going to listen to the show. So I'll have to go back and look it up. But you know who you are, and you definitely get a bro fist, man. Thanks for all the shaman healing tips. I'm going to go in and try those out, so maybe I can teach Hand how to shaman heal a little bit.
Right. Apparently I could learn some from this guy. I don't doubt it.
I don't know, man. Neither one of us knew what he was doing there for a minute. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have no 5-star reviews this week, and we probably won't get any more for just putting this out. So anyway, I guess that does it for episode 39 of The Training Dummies. Be sure to check out our website, thetradingdummies.com. We post our macros of the week there. Usually, I think I'm a couple weeks behind. I'll get caught up tomorrow, I promise. While you're there, though, please leave comments on the episodes or the macros, or send us a voicemail, which we already mentioned, using the fancy widget on the right-hand side of the page. We try to be social media butterflies, so like us at facebook.com/thetradingdummies, or follow the show on Twitter, at Training Dummies, Rob at Rob Copeland, and Hend at Hend_Hoarderlies. And as always, we love to get emails, so send those into the show at thetradingdummies.com. And since I've still got the floor here, I'm going to sneak in a little bit of hand love and send it over to the Sundering podcast. If you guys are interested, we are going to be on their show Sunday night at, I believe it's 9 p.m. Eastern.
Ooh, yeah.
We'll be recording with them. It's an explicit show, so be warned of that if you're going to listen to the live show. but anyway, if you like those kind of shows, check it out. Thank you and good night.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo!
Hello. My name is Demonic Rick,
a.k.a. Richard Harlow. 3 years ago, while attending a prestigious art school for a degree in 3D animation, I lost my vision due to a rare optic nerve disease called Leber's optic neuropathy. Over a six-month time period, I was no longer able to attend the university, and I became legally blind. Though my dreams were crushed to become an animator, I did not give up. I went into psychology and became an advocate for people with disabilities at my university. I did this through the creation of a club that helped people with both mental and physical disabilities in promoting awareness and education. I also created many campaigns to increase accessibility and tackle human rights issues. While being very active at my university, I actually never stopped playing WoW. I continued and became better. I made the game accessible for me through the use of add-ons, and I can say that I competed at a hardcore level while making sure that people couldn't tell that I was actually blind and I could only see about 1/8 of the screen at any moment, with that 1/8 being very, very blurry. I also got into podcasting and created funny segments with my warlock about accessibility, which then led me into stand-up comedy. Funny enough, I was never actually able to see the crowd, but I always knew that it was there, with their laughter. In my routine, I like to satirize what it's like to actually have a disability, and the funny things that happens in day-to-day life being blind. And quite recently, I opened up for famous Canadian comedian, Tom Green. Now I come to you asking for your help or support. There's a drug out there that can actually potentially restore my vision. Unfortunately, it is too expensive for me to acquire. No medical insurance company wants to help me, and neither does my government. Now, after seeing the show that I did with Tom Green and seeing an interview that I did with him where they got to learn more about my story, a local couple wanted to get involved and got inspired to help me out. And they started up a fundraiser for me on the website Fundraiser, that's Fund R-A-Z-R, entitled Help Richard Harlow See Again. The drug itself costs a minimum of $12,000, but an estimated of $24,000. So if you'd like to donate, I would be very much appreciative. I would also be very thankful if you would be able to share the link with your friends on Facebook or Twitter. Now the fundraiser ends on May 3rd, and any money donated to me that is not directly used for my drug treatment will actually get donated to a charity that helps the blind. If you'd like to contact me and have a question, would like to see my videos of recent interviews that I've done, or hire me to go on tour to your location, you can like my Facebook page at Richard Harlow Comedy, or you can find me on Twitter at Demonic Rick without a K. And with your help, you can help Richard Harlow see again. Thank you.